Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and let's switch gears. A call-in for conflicted football fans as the Super Bowl approaches, especially your conflicted fathers who enjoy the game but worry about passing along your enjoyment to your sons. Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Do you watch football games with your kids? Do you cheer when a lineman sacks the other team's quarterback, but then immediately feel remorse that you're teaching your son it's okay to feel pleasure at another man's pain or just to enjoy the violent sport of football at all? Give us a call, conflicted football fans, 212-433-9692. You know, Peter Beinart, usually a foreign affairs writer and contributing editor for The Atlantic, wrote about what he called, quote, the questionable ethics of teaching my son to love pro football, unquote. And he wrote about the warm memories that he has of watching pro football with his dad and his delight when his son showed an interest in watching his beloved Patriots with him. Sorry about last week, Patriots fans. But when he imagined seeing the game through his 8-year-old son's eyes, he felt a wave of sickness. His son can't yet appreciate the nuances of the game, he thought, and he realizes the only thing his son probably takes away from the constant violence of the game is to hope it's the other team's players who are getting hit. So, dads, does this ring a bell? Are you conflicted about sharing your love of or even your passing enjoyment of pro football as you plan to watch the Super Bowl with your sons this weekend, or for that matter, your daughters? Is the cozy ritual of watching the game on Sundays too good to give up? Give us a call, conflicted football fans, 212-433-WNYC. Does Peter Beinart's language ring a bell to you? And I'm in this category, not much of a football fan, much bigger baseball fan, but a little bit of a football fan. I'll get hooked in the postseason most years, and my teenage son is really into it, and we talk about the barbarity of the game. He attended a debate with me recently about whether college football should be banned. And after hearing Malcolm Gladwell, who was pro-ban, and others in that debate, I thought, well, probably yes. But he thought definitely not. But it's a question that we talk about and is on his mind. And yet there's this kind of duality. You know, we talk about the barbarity of the game, should it even exist, and yet we'll watch some games and get into it, as I'm sure we'll watch the Super Bowl. So 212-433-WNYC, conflicted football fans, how do you walk that line? I'll give you Peter Beinart's kind of tentative resolution to his own dilemma when we come back, and we'll take your calls, 212-433-9692. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Okay, conflicted football fans, how do you walk that line? And as one caller is pointing out, I've been emphasizing the dads here. I know there are football fan moms, too, and football fan daughters, mostly a guy thing. So it's kind of a guy culture thing, I think, mostly a challenge for guy culture. But obviously there are female football fans, too, of all ages. But conflicted football fan parents, how do you walk that line? Daniel in Queens, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
What are you thinking?
I mean, I'm completely conflicted. Huge football fan. My son is just turning 5 years old, and I love the game. And, you know, I've talked to my fiance about it, and we made the decision that we probably would not let him play. You know, and I it's funny because I made the comment to some of my friends about a week or so ago. We used to watch football back in the days, and you see the 1 o'clock game, the 4 o'clock game, the nighttime game, Monday Night Football, and throughout all those games, you may see one guy get knocked out of a game. Now you see it multiple times in each game. You watch like every four plays, somebody's getting knocked out of the game. The guys are so much stronger and faster now. And, you know, obviously everything's been coming about out about CTE and whatnot. And I've just gotten to the point where, you know, I don't think that I would let my son play, at least according to all the things that I've heard from doctors, not before the age of 14.
Right. And I'm definitely in that category, too. But then what do you do about watching?
It's tough because it's so ingrained. I mean, what else do you do on a Sunday between September and February? You know, as an American, you watch football.
There are one or two other things you can do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's other things you can do, but it's very, very tough. And like you said, I am conflicted about it. But the game is great. I played, you know, the camaraderie, the things that you learn, the life lessons. The game itself is mm-hmm. great, but, you know, we're going to come to a point where we have to find a way to reduce the injury and the harm that it's causing to people.
Daniel, thank you very much for starting us off. And there's the conflict. You heard it in Daniel's voice and his language about the squeamishness, wouldn't let his son play. There's more injuries per game than there used to be. And then also, the game is great. It builds camaraderie, builds character. How do you hold these two thoughts in your head at the same time? Ben in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ben.
Hi. Great show.
Thank you.
I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. My 3-year-old loves to watch football, but I am resisting allowing him because he had a head injury. He just sort of fell real hard on the floor once, and it just tuned me into the brain damage that can happen in an instant. It's not just the repetitive hitting, but you know, just one big hit, and the science isn't quite there to understand what the ramifications are.
And also it's the many small hits, because if you have a real injury, a real serious collision that looks like an event took place, that's one thing that really jumps out at us. But all this constant helmet knocking and you know, other kinds of impact to the head that are routine, that don't get registered as injuries, but they happen over and over and over and over again over the course of a career, you know, that also builds up into brain damage.
Yeah, and I used to play sports, and, you know, they would say you got your bell rung. But when you see it in your child, and, you know, you really see a difference in his personality for, you know, not just the instant after it, but, you know, for a couple of weeks after it, it's real scary stuff.
Ben, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. And Brian in Pelham, you're on WNYC. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for bringing up this subject. I mean, it's something that's really – I've been on your show before regarding this. You know, I played for 12 years and coached for 25. So I'm heartbroken about what's going on in football. And I think I'm heartbroken because there's no reaction to now that we know that it is – more than just big events like you just spoke of. It's multiple subconcussive blows that lead to chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And we even have that proof of it in high school players now up at the Sports Legacy Institute in Boston. That, you know, it's really troubling to see that we're not confronting it. But I think the problem being is that we have – it's a lot of money involved in football, whether it be at the college level – the professional level, even the youth sports.
So much money. In fact, I was surprised to see a stat the other day that for all this talk about concussions and that, you know, Intelligence Squared, widely publicized debate that I mentioned that I attended, should college football be banned? And prominent people like Malcolm Gladwell and what's his name who wrote Friday Night Lights taking the position in that debate that college football should be banned entirely. All these kinds of discussions out there. The Super Bowl last year had the biggest ratings ever. So more people, even in this age of fractured media, more Americans watched the Super Bowl last year than ever before. So there must be a lot of conflicted Americans out there. Do you think, as somebody with experience coaching in the game, and as you know, you call to say things have gotten worse and you're dismayed that nobody's doing anything about it,
yes.
Is it actually different than it used to be, or are we just more aware of it?
Well, I think we're more aware of it, but I think it's different from the standpoint of a three-component factor, how the evolution of football has what has happened. I think number one is equipment evolution has allowed players to feel more invincible. I know myself as a player, when I first played as a youth in the mid-60s, I was the first player on my team to have a plastic helmet. All the other players on my team had leather helmets. So that invincibility that you feel, and it allows you to hit things, you know, with great force, and your head and your brain doesn't stop inside your skull. It keeps moving. And that's where the problem is. The other component is the growth of strength training, which has evolved, you know, year-round training and the size and the nutritional benefits that we've reaped and the size of players.
Yeah.
You know, they're just getting bigger and bigger, and they train all year long. And then the other component, which is scantily talked about and not mentioned, is the use of performance-enhancing drugs, in particular steroids,
right,
which are rampant throughout.
So with all of this and with your history, do you still watch?
Yeah.
You're going to watch and get into it on Sunday?
Not Sunday so much. I think this is kind of anticlimactic. I watch. I'm torn. Sometimes I sit there and cry about it. It's heartbreaking. My grandfather was a football coach in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, you know. My father was a teacher and a coach, you know. It's in my heart. It's in my blood. And the things that the other gentleman said about, you know, the great things, and I'm an educator. I was an educator when I coached. It's about, well, you know, the great things that you can teach with the sport, you know, camaraderie. I think, you know, really what I really feel is that we need to promote a truth and reconciliation about what's going on, with the NFL coming out and saying what they really know. And I believe I was on with you, with Dr. Robert Cantu.
Right.
And we discussed that, and I really feel, and I've spoken with former NFL team physicians about, you know, a soft helmet, you know, going back and changing the game so that you don't use your head as a weapon.
And Brian, I'm going to leave it there. I appreciate you pouring out your heart, really. Heartbroken, Brian in Pelham. By the way, it's Buzz Bissinger who wrote Friday Night Lights. Didn't want to leave him unnamed after I couldn't remember his name. Lauren in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Football fan?
Yes, very much so.
Conflicted?
Yes, it is. It's a big part of my identity. I grew up in New England, huge Patriots fan. I played football. To me, obviously, you know, the health concerns are there, but the more conflict that I feel is about being a female football fan and the constant reminders of the fact that, you know, we're not important to the advertisers. You know, the women on the sidelines are constantly being objectified. And when I have a daughter and I want to bring her up, is that something that I want to expose her to?
It's a great question. And so how do you resolve it for yourself?
I go back and forth.
That's the conflictedness.
The only way that, you know, you're going to see a change is if people actually stop watching, kind of like you just said. And I don't know if I'm in any position to do that yet. Like I said, it's a big part of my identity.
Yeah. Let me read you a comment that came in on our website from Patty in Patterson, who wrote, "I'm a huge football fan. While I've been very reticent to let my 11-year-old son play, I've been able to use the excuse that it's too demanding a practice schedule for him to maintain along with homework. We still watch most Sundays. Something that has changed in our viewing is we discuss the good hits versus bad hits. We also point out to him that the health care that they have accessible to them is way better than what we have access to, so any damages that he would sustain could be way more detrimental." Wow. They can, I don't know about that argument, Patty. They can deal with it because they have good health insurance. I'm not sure once you get to a traumatic brain injury that it doesn't matter how good your plan is. But Lauren, that's an example of how somebody kind of mitigates and a conflicted parent sort of walks the line. Do you think you could get to that point with the injuries or on the sexism, which is really what you called about?
Yeah, I think the open discussion is the key. You know, you have to kind of point out what's good, what's bad, what's changing, because it is changing and the discussions are there. And just, you know, kind of be honest about what the game is.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your call. And let's go to Lev in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Lev.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking on this important topic. I just want to say I have a daughter who's an incredible football fan, and she manages to ignore all the sexism on the sidelines that the last caller was so concerned with. She gets into it in, people always refer to the chess game, and she's very much up on that side of it. For myself, I was a huge football fan. We're, lifelong Jets fans, which is testimony enough to loving the game to endure things. But I've had to give it up completely. I mean, everybody who says they're conflicted is really just ignoring the evidence that's in now. I mean, the facts are in. This game messes you up really bad. And I'd like to draw a connection to your last topic, especially what Mr. Kennedy was saying. It's the same thing. This country goes ahead and destroys the natural environment. Football does the same thing to the human environment. And in the same way that the population, through corporate interests and government manipulation, won't acknowledge and stand up for our natural resources, we're going along with football as well. I love the game, but the cost is just too high.
Lev, I'm gonna leave it there so I have time for one more caller, but thank you very much. And there, folks, is somebody who came out of his conflictedness on the other side and says he's now giving it up. And John in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I went to Catholic high school in the Bronx, and my coach was a priest. I was on the defensive line. His brother, the Gambino captain from Arthur Avenue, was the offensive coach. He was actually the nice guy. Comment that sticks with me most is if you break your helmet on an opposing player, 13 or 14 year olds, I'll take you out for a steak dinner.
Oh boy, the coach said that.
The priest said that.
The priest at your Catholic school.
Yes, Cardinal Hayes. I don't know, and I'm sure there were. I know there are wonderful priests and great coaches, but the camaraderie spoken of that I experienced, I'm sure other people have other experiences, was really with what they used to call, I haven't heard it for a while, the A-types, to get them. If we won, you had to taunt the other side. Otherwise, you were out. If we lost, I imagine we were taunted. And I imagine they had to, or else they weren't in.
And the trash talking still goes on, as Robert Sherman was telling me just the other day. We just have 20 seconds left. I'm curious, John, how long ago was your experience? How long ago was this?
I'm coming up on 60, but I've heard other stories from other people. My son loves football. His fiance loves football. I still love the idea of it. I went to that school because I thought I was going to find friends. And I wasn't a hard man. I wasn't hard enough for them.
John, I'm going to leave it there, and I appreciate your call. And I appreciate all the calls that we got from brokenhearted to having left it behind to scratching your heads and trying to figure out what you're going to do about your conflictedness as parents about football. Maybe like Peter Beinart, you're going to have these conversations with your kids, then when it's game time, you're going to watch the game and enjoy it and figure out somewhere down the line how you're actually going to resolve those two. So thank you for your thoughtful calls. You can keep this conversation going at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.